Okay, we have our Bibles open to Psalms 62, and our message is going to be from verses 5 through 8, and I want to start with the intro verse of verse 1. I titled this sermon, Does Your Soul Truly Wait on God? And we're going to see that in verses 5 through 8, He's my Redeemer, He's my Rock, He's my Refuge, and He's our Refuge. In verse 1 here, Psalm 62, verse 1 says, Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. Salvation only comes from God, only comes from the Lord. And it's a sad state of affairs in Christianity today on salvation. You could ask 10 different Christians, maybe get 10 different answers, but there's only one answer, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Truly, my salvation comes from God, is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Let's read that just for a quick reference. Most of us have it memorized, but this is true salvation, Romans 10, 9. Romans 10, 9 says, That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you want to truly be saved, have salvation from God, from Him cometh my salvation, right there it is. Confess and believe. Mouth confession, heart belief. Nothing else. Okay. Once we have that, once you've done that, and I hope, pray that we all have done that, once we've done that, hey, we got this Holy Spirit inside of us, don't we? We're sealed to the day of redemption. Man, we're talking about my first point here is going to be my Redeemer, my expectation. It's sealed to the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Let's see that. Redemption to the day of redemption. I accept the Lord, Romans 10:9. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. In other words, I have eternal security. Ephesians 4 and verse 30 says, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed unto the day of redemption. That is a very good thing. That means that there is a day that something's going to be redeemed. What is it? What is going to be redeemed? Until that day of redemption, it is our body. Let's go into verse, let's turn back to the passage and we'll see verse 5. Psalm 62, verse 5. We see that. It says, My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Who wrote this in Psalms here? Psalms is generally always attributed to David. I believe he is attributed to writing this to. David wrote this in his time. And he said this. He said, My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. What was David's expectation in that time frame? That's before the Lord came on the scene. What's he expecting? The nation of Israel, David, they are expecting to see the manifest Messiah. They want to see the Messiah. That's his expectation, to see the Messiah for the nation of Israel. That's what David was waiting on. So, what should our expectation be? Right along the lines on that, we are waiting on the Lord to return. We are waiting on that. But what does that mean exactly? We talked about what I just truly saved. You had the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you're saved till the day of redemption. It's not going anywhere. You're not going to spring a leak. The Spirit's inside of you, you got saved. It's till the day of redemption. What is that? That's our redemption of our body. Let's look at this expectation. See, Psalm 62, verse 5 says, David said, For my expectation is from Him. He was expected to see the Messiah. What are we expecting to see? We're saved. We're saved today, redemption. We should be expecting our body to be redeemed. My Redeemer. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I did a word search, quick word search on expectation from what the Apostle Paul said. He basically said it two times. We're going to look at both those times he stated that here. Romans chapter 8 and verse, let's start in 18. And 17, 18, the context is being an heir and a joint heir. Two different things there. But it says in 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." The whole creation, God's whole creation, the earnest expectation of the creature, which is the whole creation that God made, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, creation is waiting on the Lord, the manifestation of the sons of God. Just like David was waiting on Messiah, the whole creation is waiting on the Lord's return to set things up, to get rid of this sinful world we're in. So let's keep looking at this passage here. Keep looking here. We see that verse 22. Skip on to 8:22. We see, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Those that are saved. You have the first fruits of the Spirit, you're saved. That's us. That's you and I, if you're saved. Even we ourselves groan in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. There's our expectation. There is expectation of being redeemed by the Lord Jesus, to wit, the redemption of our body. Look at 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. David's saying, my expectation is from him. We need to ask ourselves, is our expectation from him? Are we waiting on our adoption, the redemption of our body? That's what we're waiting on. We should be waiting on. If you're truly waiting on God, you're truly waiting on the redemption of our sinful body to be with the Lord forever and ever. That is an awesome thing. You know, think about it from our flesh side of things. What am I waiting on after this? I'm waiting on, let's go have some lunch. Or, oh man, the Chiefs played tonight even. We get to watch that. That's a good thing, but that's flesh. You know, some of us, if you're like me, are thinking about maybe tomorrow, what I've got to do at work. You know, all that stuff is the stuff that's seen. It's not real important in the grand scheme of things, but it is our life as we're walking through it. And if you think about our life as we're walking through it, it's that journey. We're walking through a journey here. But it all leads to this end, this expectation of being redeemed, our body being redeemed. All this other stuff can cloud our thought process, can cloud what we really need to be focusing on. So let's think about that as we continue on. I got one more. I said Paul wrote expectation. He said the word twice. Let's look at the next one. It's in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 is where he stated again. In verse 20, he stated this. We'll read 20 and 21. Philippians 1, 20 and 21. This is Paul's earnest expectation. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul's expectation and hope, guess what it was? It's the exact same thing. He was waiting on the adoption, the redemption of his body, to be adopted, to spend eternity with God. And he knew that. He understood that very well. And how did he live his life? He said, In my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Think about that statement. In nothing I shall be ashamed. You think it just means on earth? Yeah, it does mean that, but it also means right here, a verse right here, 2 Timothy 2:15, that he shall have self approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He did not want to be ashamed at judgment seat. In nothing I shall be ashamed. And so look, he's speaking, because Paul knew the earth, what he was truly waiting on is the redemption of his body. Because he knew that, he's speaking it with all boldness. And he's living his life for Christ, that Christ would be magnified in his body. And he can and say that in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Either way, it's a good deal. If I'm living as Christ, if I'm dying, I'm gaining Christ. It's a good deal. He understood truly waiting on God. His expectation was for his, he knew what his expectation was, the redemption of his body. Paul knew his Redeemer. He knew when it was. Now, I got to thinking about this point. I was like, man, what is a personal application? I've got one here. I think it's pretty good. I'd like it to see if y'all like it. What are we redeemed? When you see the word redeemed today, what do you think of? I think of coupons. And right here, we in Arnold, we don't have a lot of places to shop, but Dollar General, you know. Usually every Saturday, they got a $5 coupon up there. You know, if you go there on Saturday, you got your receipts from the previous week, you got a $5 coupon. You just got to spend $25. That's the catch on Saturday. You got to have this coupon with you. So I was like, that is neat, being redeemed. What can I learn? My life application redeemer, my redeemer here, this coupon. Well, think about it. When you redeem a coupon, typically, you got to have a coupon in your hand. Sometimes you can do it online, but you still have to have the secret code. You have to know the promo code. You got it in your hand, you got a piece of paper. It's a real life coupon. But guess what? That coupon is a picture of our life. It's a picture of our life. And on that coupon, it has an expiration date. They always have an expiration. Not always, but most, if not all, have an expiration date. You got to use it by this date. Well, our life has an expiration date. None of us know when it's going to be, but we do have an expiration date. And on that coupon, there's instructions. I got to use it at this store. I can't go use a Dollar General coupon down at Ace Hardware or Walmart. They're not going to take it. There's instructions on it. Well, guess what? In our life, God gives us instructions. It's called the Word of God. He gives us that. And another thing about a coupon, a lot of them say, hey, this thing has no cash value. Anybody seen one? They're worth like 1/1,000th of a penny. Sometimes you'll see that on there. No cash value. Well, guess what? That's what the world thinks of the life, my life I'm living. My life's a coupon. The world, it has no value to the world, that coupon. There's no value to it. To the world, our life, living in Christ, unsaved world, they have no value to it. But it still exists. So, I hope we try to convey that and understand. I see that. It's like, yeah, my life is going to be redeemed at my expiration date at the appointed time in front of the Lord Jesus. Did I follow the instructions He laid out for me? If I didn't, guess what it's worth? Nothing. And what happened to me the other day? I really messed up. I had a coupon at Dollar General, and I went to Dollar General, got in a hurry, and I left it at the house. I didn't have it with me. I couldn't redeem it. I didn't have the coupon with me. So there's got to be the life example there. It's like, hey, don't lose your life. Follow the Word of God. You got to follow those instructions at the expiration appointed time. Follow the instructions. So anyway, to truly wait on God, you expect, you're waiting on your redemption of your body to be redeemed. Your expectation is from God to be redeemed. So back to our passage. Verse 6, Psalm 62, and verse 6 and 7, we talk about the rock a little bit here. It says, verse 6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. So focus on the rock here. Who is the rock? That's Jesus Christ. John 14:6. Let's go to that. Think you've got another way to get to heaven? God tells you otherwise. We know you've got to be saved by Romans 10:9. The Lord says, I am the only way. John 14:6. He says, Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not getting there any other way but by the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do all the good works you want. You can think, hey, I've lived a good life, or I just try to do good to everybody. I believe what, you know, my grandparents taught me, my mom taught me, what the church teaches. No, you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have Romans 10:9 salvation. He is the only way. So he is the rock. Now, let's look at this. It says, back in our passage, it says, he only is my rock. He only is my rock. There's nothing else. If you're relying on anything else, we'll pray for you, and you need to get your heart right with God, because he only is the rock. In our dispensation of grace, Apostle Paul wrote, Ephesians 2:8-10, and he tells us that grace only is the way. No works involved. Ephesians 2, let's turn to that. Ephesians 2:8-10. It's Christ alone through faith alone. Ephesians 2:8-10. He only is my rock. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I cannot do anything to get saved. It's by grace alone. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can't do the works to get to heaven, to be saved. But in verse 10, it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. Salvation, works is not salvation, but works are important. Verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're supposed to do the good works that the Lord has laid out for us in his word. Not for our salvation, but for what? We're going to see that, understand that a little better coming here. So, it's Christ alone through faith alone. He only is my rock. Now, let's look at the word rock, and it says, when we think of rock, what do you think of? It's a foundation. The rock is the foundation. Christ alone is our foundation. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and see that. We're talking about the judgment seat chapter here in 1 Corinthians 3. Let's read 11 first. We're going to read these backwards. Read 11 first and then 10. But it says, for other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. There is no only rock. No other rock. He only is my rock. He is the foundation. Verse 10 tells us something here in verse 10. We realize that Christ alone is the rock. Christ is the foundation. Foundations are made of rock. If you build a house or a building on something other than rock, concrete, in other words, you're asking for trouble. You're going to fall. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, this is Paul talking here, I have laid the foundation. Paul laid it out. He laid this foundation. He laid the rock out. He laid how we're supposed to follow Jesus. He laid it out for us, how we're supposed to follow Jesus. And then it says, and another buildeth thereon. That's our job to build on. It says, but, here's the warning, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Christ is the foundation. He is the only rock. Hey, here's the warning. Take heed how you build on the rock. Take heed how you build on the rock. And that is the main point of this. Is Christ your rock? If he is, take heed how you're building on this rock. And we're going to study this real in depth here. Come to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're in the neighborhood. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We see the story of the spiritual rock. Starting in verse 4, we know that the rock was Christ. We're going to read a lot of this passage here and go look at the verses here and see what we can glean from it. Is Jesus your rock? He is the only rock. He is the foundation. Take heed how you're building on it. Now, look at this passage starting in 1 Corinthians 10:4. It says, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Proves their point. The rock is Christ. But look at verse 5. But with many of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. What's the story he's talking about here? It's quoting from Exodus 17:6, and the nation of Israel is coming out, they're coming out of Egypt, and they get out there, and with many of them, he was not pleased, and they knew what the Lord had done for them. How do we look at verse 6, we'll tie these three verses together, but verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Okay, the Old Testament is written for our learning, for our example here. This story specifically was written for it. Now what happens here? Do you know Christ as your Redeemer? Do you know Christ as your rock? If you do, this story is for us to understand. It's for us to understand and have an example. What happened to him? He was not pleased with many of them. Huh, you think God is well pleased with many Christians today that call themselves Christians? First of all, did they actually get saved? Did they get Romans 10:9 salvation? Okay, you did. If you did that, what are you doing now? How are you building on the foundation that is the rock? That is Jesus. Because we need to take heed, as we've seen here. So, verse 6, the story is for examples, and it was the evil things, the sinful things, that can take them out. We're going to have the list of them here. Verse 7, you see, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. That's kind of like today's time frame, isn't it? You know, it's like, everybody gets saved, and, oh, that's cool, I'm saved, I'm eternally saved. Now let's go eat, drink, go play, let's go have a good life. We still got the foundation that we're supposed to be building on. How are you building on it? What got into them here? Their problems here, the nation of Israel here, they got into evil things. They were idolaters. What did they do? That was the golden calf in Exodus 32:16. They made that golden calf. They couldn't. They got tired of waiting on Moses. He was up in the mountain talking to God. They got tired of him, of waiting. They made a golden calf. They did what they wanted to do. Huh. Well, that picture can we get from that? We get tired of waiting on God. What are we waiting on? We're waiting on the redemption of our body. We get tired of waiting. Are we making golden calves in our lives? Are we putting idols in front of us? You know, stuff more important in our life than what God is? That's easy to do because we're back to the flesh side of things. It's like, how much money can I get in my account? What's my next fun thing I'm going to do? Where am I going to go eat? All the things that we all have as flesh we deal with. Don't make them golden calves in your life. Don't make them idolatry and idols in our life. Because, look what he said, they're written for examples. Eat, drink, and rose up to play. Your life's about what your next enjoyment is. You're getting in the golden calf situation here. So beware of that, our example. Verse 8, we get into the sexual sins they got into, and that can draw anybody in as well. It says, neither let us commit fornication. Some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000 just fell in like that on the sexual side of things. We have that as an issue today, too, with availability of online stuff, and everybody talk about it. Here, your buddy got it on his phone showing you pictures of it. It's so rampant, it's just bad, the sexual side of things, but that is evil. Flee from it. Stay away from it. Written for examples, they fell. The nation of Israel fell. So, verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of service. Don't tempt Christ. That's a bad game to play. Don't, in verse 10, don't murmur, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. They were taken out. Verse 11, repeat it again. Now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, from whom the ends of the world came. It's written for our examples again, so we probably ought to do what? Verse 12. There it is again. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You think you're standing on the rock, take heed, because all this flesh, all this world, all this evil stuff is there to take us out. take heed, lest you fall. Let's read back in our passage here. Which, keep your finger here where you're at. Don't lose your spot. We're coming back. But it says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 answers that. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. What's 13 say? It says, Therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. That lines up real good. Right there it is. God is your defense, you shall not be moved. You will not, you shall be able to bear it. He will give you a way out if you're waiting on the Lord. If you understand it, hey, the end game, the end thing I'm waiting on is the redemption of this body. And you understand that Jesus is the rock, He is the foundation, I'm standing on Him. If you're doing that, you understand that very well. He is your defense. You shall not be moved. You have to just understand that and comprehend and know that the Lord is there for us. You're standing on Him, He's there for us. He ain't going nowhere. We will be okay. Finishing up this passage here in 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And that lines up with, in Colossians 3:5, idolatry is covetousness. Colossians 3:5 tells us that idolatry is covetousness. Now, that's what we can all get into. Hey, I'd like to have more money. I'd like to have a bigger house. I'd like to have that person or whatever as a spouse or, whatever. You see, whatever, covetousness. You're wanting something, and God didn't give it to you. God will give you what you can handle. You'll be able to bear it. Don't covet. That is idolatry, and that's what takes us out. And I think when I thought about that, we all know the verse. I did, what is it? 1 Timothy, I believe. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the same thing. There it is. Covetous, love of money is the root of all evil. So, stay away from covetousness. Stay away from idolatry. And we'll end it in 15 here. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to wise men and saying, judge ye what I say. What's the world say? A lot of Christians say, hey, don't judge anything. Don't judge anything I'm doing. But Paul's saying, hey, judge what I'm saying right here. Take heed what I'm saying. He tells us in... We won't turn him, but 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, He has spiritual judges all things through the Word. We judge all things through the Word. Speak as to wise men. Judge you what I say. Judge everything through the Word of God. Very, very key thing. It all comes back to what's the end game? Redemption of the body. 2 Corinthians 5:10 is judgment seat of Christ. We know we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we looked at. So, go back to our passage in Psalms. We've seen that He should be my Redeemer. It should be my expectation is the redemption of this body. He should be my rock. I need to take heed how I'm building on this rock, on Jesus Christ. Now we're going to talk about my refuge. Verse 7 says, In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Well, isn't that interesting? How David says this. He's talking about salvation and glory. Today, is the end game for a Christian just salvation in the dispensation of grace? No, it is not. He has more for us. We are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ Jesus. We're created for Him. If you get into that, now we see that we need to be following His works to achieve the glory. We see that in let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. David says, what here he says, in God is my salvation and my glory. 2 Timothy 2:10. says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Salvation with eternal glory. May. See, Paul states this to Timothy. May attain it. Not a guarantee. That eternal glory is the may side of it. It's our choice in how did we build. Did we take heed how we build on the rock? Did we take heed how we build on the rock? Oh, here's an interesting story. An example I forgot to mention is that some of us have seen this firsthand. You got the rock, right? Our foundation. Here comes a tornado. Your foundation of your house is there. Your house is there. Here comes a tornado. What's left of the house on an F5 tornado hits? You got the foundation. That's it. Oh, here comes a fire. Another example of problem in our life. Here comes a fire. Fire burns everything you got in the house. What's left? That foundation's still there. Didn't burn. Christ is not going anywhere. So we need to build on that foundation. It makes sense to build stuff that doesn't burn. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us gold, silver, and precious stone. Let's build on this foundation, stuff that doesn't burn. Stuff that's tied to that foundation. It's not going anywhere. Back to this point. Salvation with eternal glory. It's also, you can see in 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14 tells us that too. There's something about salvation with eternal glory. It's that second inheritance that God wants us to have. It's a calling that He's given us. And it leads us into His refuge. Look back at the passage. We see that God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Let's look at a passage that explains a lot better than I can on what a refuge is. It's also in Psalms. Psalms chapter 91, starting in verse 1. Is God my refuge? We start in verse 1, we see that Psalm 91 verse 1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. You see the words dwelleth and abide. Then David says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. If you're dwelling and abiding with God, you can say that. You can understand that. He is my refuge. We cross-reference that to what Paul, the apostle, wrote in abiding. What abides today? There's three things. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. What abides? Where are we dwelling at? Where's our heart at, in other words? As we're taking this journey of life, we're thinking about, hey, my life is this coupon, it's got to be redeemed. What are we abiding in? Verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. That's what abides, charity, the love relationship that we have with the Lord and the Lord has with us. That's what abides. Also, you can see a reference, another cross-reference, 1 Corinthians 3:14, in the judgment seat of Christ, what abides? If any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. That is abiding there. So, in Him, are we dwelling in the Lord? Are we abiding in what He cares about? In the love relationship that He wants us to have, in His Word? Are we waiting on the redemption of our body? And are we taking heed how we're building on the foundation? Jesus Christ, the rock. Let's look at, back to Psalm 91, verse 3 and 4. To finish our point on refuge here. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, I got something pretty cool from this, and that I found out something that I didn't know. Duck hunting's biblical. I love the duck hunt. It's biblical right here. Duck hunting's biblical. Look at this. He says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And I had to look at this. I looked up, we've got to turn to Proverbs 6:5. See another time fowler is mentioned here. And what Solomon's telling in Proverbs 6:5, what he says about the fowler. Here is a great example. Proverbs 6:5 says, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter. That's like a deer. From the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. There it is again. Solomon is saying, hey, deliver thyself as a bird from the hand of the fowler. There's only one catch, and I love duck hunting. And guess what? The only thing biblical is the ducks that get away from us, you know. Because I'm deceiving those ducks, trying to feed the ducks to shoot them. Deliver thyself as a hand from the fowler. So, we're talking about my point of the refuge here. And some of us know that there are a few refuges around for ducks. You know, around here, St. Paul, Lacine, others around. There's a refuge there. Those ducks definitely know it's refuge. That's something that man has set up and set aside, you know. And what can we learn from that and see that, hey, that's a safe place. That's a very safe place. What's our refuge? God is our refuge. Right? That's a very safe place for us to go and dwell. God set up a refuge for us, just like man has set up a refuge for these ducks. That's a safe place. There ain't one of them going to get taken out of those. If me as a hunter try to go in there, I'm getting thrown in the slammer. You know, that's a safe place. Same way with God, the refuge. Satan tries to come in and take us out. God will take care of us if you're following God. You're following what God's plan is for your life, understanding that he is our rock and our redeemer. So, yeah, back, it hit me hard too. Like, when I'm duck hunting, I'm a picture of Satan trying to deceive these poor lovely ducks. But you know what? That's okay. What do those ducks do? I'm going to learn something from those ducks then. When those ducks are coming in, we're set up to hunt, what are they looking for? They're flying around. I mean, some of them will circle for 5 or 10 minutes before they come down. What are they doing? They're studying. They're looking. Studying to show themselves approved. They're looking to see what things look like here. This doesn't look right. What should we learn from that, you know? When you're getting something that looks appeasing, looks like, hey, this is God's refuge. This is where I need to go. Does it? Study it out in the Word, just like those ducks. Take your time. Look at it. Compare it. Scripture with Scripture and see, is this real? Is this really of God or not? That's a very, very good point for us to learn from. So, finish up, back to Psalm 91. We'll finish out the point here. And verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. There's the key. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. What is the truth? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The truth is the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. In rightly dividing the word of truth, the truth is the word of God. The shield and buckler. Let's turn to this one. Ephesians 6, verse 16. The shield and buckler. Keep those in mind, those words in mind, Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Says, Ephesians 6:16 says, above all. What's that mean? That means that's very important. Above all. What? Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, you take that shield of faith. Well, what's that? That's Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The shield of faith. It's back to the Word of God. You got your shield on. That's part of the refuge of God, the protection. God's protection for us, back to God's refuge. So, are you abiding in God's refuge? Have you made it your refuge? Is it my refuge? Am I taking the shield of faith? Am I understanding that, hey, there is salvation and there is glory here? Salvation guaranteed, glory not guaranteed. It's based on my works and how I'm abiding. Am I being deceived? Like those poor old ducks that I get to shoot every once in a while. We deceive a few of them, and they meet their maker. You know? Am I being deceived like those ducks? Do not be deceived. Study the Word. Know the Word. Abide in His truth. And we'll understand that the Lord is our refuge. He set up a safe space. Safe space. It's in Him. You know? Safe space is in God. It's not in what man has set up and all the things that the world thinks they give us. Safe space, the refuge, is in God. Let's go back to the passage and the final point. Verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that mean just for me or just for you? No, it's whosoever. Whosoever shall call. Also in that same passage, it tells us how they know without a preacher in Romans 10 there. What's that? That's on us. That's on us to what? Talk about the Lord. Show people the Lord. This refuge that God has set up for us is not exclusive for individuals. God's open arms welcome for all. So it's on us to tell people about God, to show people about God in our life. That's probably more important than telling, is showing. Showing that, hey, here's a refuge. Back to that silly analogy I keep talking about with the ducks. I guarantee you those ducks talk to each other because that refuge is loaded with thousands. Not me and the ducks, and I'm sitting over here in another good place, but they ain't coming over here because they're all talking. They all know this is safe over here. Got a food field over here. We're all, hey, let's go get some feed. By the thousands, they go talk to each other, and they're all there. All there safe, not getting shot. That's what the deal is. They're talking. Why aren't we talking? Why don't we tell people? Why don't we show people about the Lord? Don't be afraid to. This world we have today, everybody try to beat us down. Beat us down. Don't talk about the Lord. Can't do that. It's our duty to talk about the Lord and show people the Lord. It's our refuge. Let me tell you about my refuge and let's make it our refuge. Bring people along with us. That is another aspect of truly waiting on the Lord. Does your soul truly wait on God? So, let's look at some points here. Trust in Him. How can I trust in Him always? It says in verse 5, trust in Him at all times. How can I apply that? I would go with 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. Let's look at that. Trust in Him always. Pray without ceasing. Well, that's quite a bit of praying, isn't it? So, that means having a heart attitude of, hey, my prayerful heart attitude is I want to please God, I want to meditate on the Word, I want to pray without ceasing, I'm giving it to God. In verse 18, when those storms, those fires, those things come in our life, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything? Yeah, Lord, just had this disaster happen. Well, give thanks to God. It's a reason. It happened for a reason. Give thanks to God in everything. Trust in Him at all times. All times means all times. Wow. Then, that's the next point you go to. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. This is David telling, hey, ye people, pour out your heart before Him. Give it to God. Just like I'm showing you how I'm giving it to God. I'm praying without ceasing. I'm giving thanks in all things. Pour out your heart. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, one we talked about earlier. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, give it to God. Be careful for nothing. It's not our care. Give it to God. A few verses. Let's look at a couple verses to tell people about. Ephesians 4:15. This is Paul's command to us to tell people about it. Function of the church, one of them is right here. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speak the truth in love. For the goal of growing up into the Lord. For the goal of bringing people into his refuge. Showing people how to abide in him, how to build upon the foundation. And understanding that, hey, we're waiting on the redemption of our body. Speak the truth in love. Another good passage on this point, 2 Timothy 2:1-2. This is very, very good point to remember when you're trying to speak the truth about God to people. Verse 1 is, 2 Timothy 2:1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus. Be strong in it. Why? Because, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, saying, commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. You're teaching faithful men. Those that understand that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. They want to apply that. They want to abide where you're abiding in the refuge you have that God has given us. They want to abide there with you in God's word, teaching the faithful men. But the key is being strong. Don't be weak, because Satan doesn't want that happening. You know, me back to that picture on the Satan the duck hunter. He doesn't want, he wants to deceive you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to take you out. He wants to destroy you. Take you home and eat you for supper. That's what Satan wants to do. There's no bones about it. He don't. It's a false love he has. That's false deception. So, we'll close with our verse of this year. We're talking about comfort in the time of conflict. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Back to the point of telling people about the refuge, making him our refuge. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How are we going to be able to comfort others if we're not talking about it? We're not showing people that God is our refuge. You have to do that. If you wait, I mean, take it back. You only have to do that if your soul is truly waiting on God. If it's not, then you're not truly waiting on God. When I was putting this message together, Pam asked me if she could help, so she said, how could I help you do something? I said, I don't know. Think of an acronym for wait. And it applies good. We're waiting on God. It says, what does wait stand for? It says, walk always in truth. That's her contribution to my sermon today. Walk always in truth. If you're truly waiting, walk always in truth. Walk always in truth. And we understand that we have a Redeemer. Is he my Redeemer? Is he my expectation? Am I waiting on the redemption of my body? We understand that Jesus is the rock, and we need to take heed how we're building on the rock. We understand that Jesus is my refuge, and I'm abiding in him, in his word, in his faith. He's the shield. He's my buckler. I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to fall. And we understand that we need to be telling others and showing others to make it our refuge. God is our refuge. Does your soul truly wait on God? That's it in a nutshell. close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this day, this time we've had to dig into your word. See a lot of simple truths, Lord, that we have in our day-to-day lives, and even some things that's prominent in my life, Lord. I just thank you for allowing me to see that and to understand that better and to be able to try to convey it in simple as I could terms, Lord. Lord, just thank you for showing us the true meaning of waiting on you, what we need to do. Let's walk always in your truth. Let's abide in you, Lord. Lord, just go with us now as we break from here. Help us to just apply what we've learned. Help us to stay focused on you and do what's right. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.